Today, Shir Masechta Gittin, Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalad, Amud Aleph, two lines from the top. Begins the Gemara Tan Rabbanan. If the Braisa teaches us, Gava B'chayvai, if a Nachri collected an Eved from his Yisrael owner, B'chayvai, that was the Yisrael owed money to the Nachri, and he collected him because he was owed the money. But the case of our Gemara is not where the Yisrael had put up the Eved as collateral, nor is it a case where the Yisrael had handed over the Eved to the Nachri. What happened here was the Nachri on his own took the Eved as payment for the loan. Oy shalachai sakriken. What happens is that the Nachri came and told the Jew, "I will kill you," and the Eved was given to appease the Nachri not to kill the Jew. In all these cases, Layetzel Cheres. As we've been learning in our Shurim, that under certain circumstances, when Yisrael causes that an Eved should not be able to do mitzvahs, the Yisrael is obligated to free the Eved. Here, since he didn't do this by his own free will, and therefore, it's not considered as if the Yisrael gave over the Eved to the Nachri, that the Nachri should go free. And the Maram says even a bigger chiddush. If the Yisrael had no other way of paying off his debt, and because the Yisrael had no other way of paying off his debt, that's why the Nachri took the Eved in payment for what's owed to him, that also is not considered that as if the Yisrael gave over the Nachri. Moreover, the Gerish Yerachim discusses a situation, but what would be the halacha if the Eved was a bekuach nefesh? And maybe the Yisrael had other assets, but in such a situation, he's not thinking. Would that be considered as if he gave over the Eved willingly to Nachri? In all these cases, these are not situations that the Eved goes out free. Ask the Gemara, is that true? If the Eved was given up to pay off a loan, the halacha is that the Eved doesn't go out free. The Braisa teaches us that if the king, the government, that made the Jew turn over his grain, in b'chayvai, if they're coming to collect it because they're obligated to pay it, chayiv, then the Yisrael has to take off trumas and maisrus from somewhere else. Chayiv lasser, he has to take off trumas and maisr. In bamparis, but if the Jew is not obligated to give over that tax, and they're just taking it because they are being unfair, potamalasa, then he doesn't have to take off trumas or maisers. But what do we see from our braisa? That paying off an obligation is considered like something that you're obligated to do. And since it's considered something you're obligated to do, then you can't say, well, I was forced into it. So here too, if the Eved was taken for a debt that he was obligated to do, so then why shouldn't it be considered as if he used his Eved to pay off his debt? Answers the Gemara Shani Hossam. The two situations cannot be compared. The Kamishtar Shalei. Because in the case where he's using whatever to pay off his debt, so that's something that he's obligated to do. And if he gave his grain to pay off his debt, so taxes are something that we're obligated to pay. When Eved was taken from the owner, and it was taken against the will of the owner, it's not considered as if the owner wanted to pay off his taxes. He's not obligated to pay. This was done against his will, and therefore it's very different. So Ramosha, the Shas Chuv Sigris Moshe, Yerodeya Chelik Aleph, Simen Kuf Mem Gimel, uses this Gemara to discuss a question. If somebody is considering what is his income, that he wants to give maisa from that income, the question is that is taxes considered, is it considered, do we consider his income pre-tax money, or do we consider his income after he paid taxes? So he brings a raya from our Gemara, that the Gemara just says that a obligation to pay tax is not considered something that you were forced into. It's something that you have to do. So he says that when somebody pays taxes, we don't look at it as if it was income that was forced to be taken away from him. A person earns money, and when he earns money, he could do whatever he wants to do with the money. And one of the things that he's supposed to do with his money is pay taxes. He says the same goes for sales tax, what you pay when you purchase something. It's all something that's part of your income, and the fact that you have to pay taxes, that's called a legitimate expense, like any other expense that people incur. Continues the Gemara. Tashma, Dama Rav. So again, the question is, if a Nochri took an Eved Kenani to pay off what he's obligated to pay, is that considered that he, as if he gave away his Eved Kenani to a Nochri, and he's not obligated to free him, or he is obligated to free him? Toshma, Dama Rav, Hamaycha Avdol Parnag Eved Kechavim. If somebody sells his Eved Kenani to a Nochri that makes a false claim for his money, and even though the claim is false, the Jew obviously has no option but because he's scared, and he gives the Nochri for that payment. The halacha is Yotzei L'Chayrus. The halacha is that he has to let him go free. So we see that even though it wasn't that he willingly sold the Eved, it was just a situation that he was forced to hand over the Eved, because if he's not going to give over the Eved, he's going to be in trouble. Yet the halacha is that it's considered as if he gave away the Eved. Answered the Gemara, Hassam, that's not a good raya. Why? Hassam, Hava Lefayis, he could have paid off the Nochri with different assets, V'loi Pais, and he didn't use those different assets. And therefore, since he had opportunity to use different assets, and he didn't use these assets, that's why he's going to be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Gufa, Amarav, Hamaycha Avdel Aparanag Avik Chavim, repeating this halacha that we just said, if a Nochri, if a Yisrael gave over his Eved to this Nochri who's extorting him, Yotz L'Cheres, the Eved goes out free. Says the Gemara, why? My Havel El Eved. What should he have done? Answers the Gemara, Havel Lefayis, he should have used other assets to pay off, and since the Loi Pais, he didn't use those assets, he's held responsible. Bar Rab Yirmiya. So now Rab Yirmiya asks a different question. Machroi L'Shloishim Yoim. If somebody sold an Eved for 30 days to be by the Nochri, and after the 30 days, he's going to come back to the Yisrael. What will be the halacha? Do we say that for those 30 days, he's going to be under the control of the Nochri? And since he's going to be under the control of the Nochri, we're learning that Chazal made a gzeira, that whenever you hand over Yisrael to a Nochri, whenever you hand over Eved Kenani to a Nochri, the Eved Kenani goes free. Or was that only said when it's going to be permanent? Since this is only temporary, the halacha wasn't said then. Toshma, says the Gemara, Domer Rav, Hamoich Avdol Farnig Eved Kechavim, Yotze L'Chayrus. They gives it over to the Farnig, he goes free. Now, it seems that the Gemara is learning that this is also only temporary. And it says, Gemara, Hasam, says the Gemara, that's not true. Because there it's talking about Farnig Eved Kechavim, it's talking about a type of situation, Sheinu Chayzeres. But maybe if he's going to come back, it may be very different. Another question. Machroi, if somebody sold his Eved, Chutz Memalachtoi, that means the actual ownership of the Eved was given to the Nochri, was sold to the Nochri, and the purpose, the Rishonim explain why somebody would do this, is because somebody has a Shifcha Kananis, who he wants should have children. So he buys the Eved Kanani to marry the Shifcha Kananis and have children. But the deal was that the work of this Eved Kanani does not belong to this Nachri. Mahu. What will be the halacha? Do we say, at the end of the day, the Nachri now owns the Eved? So since the Nachri now owns the Eved will go free. Or do we say that the concern is, as we keep on saying, that the Eved will be prevented from doing mitzvahs? This Eved is not being prevented from doing mitzvahs, because if he was sold for work, so then he's being prevented from doing mitzvahs, because he's going to be busy with the Nachri working for him, and the Nachri may make him work on Shabbos. Here, he's not going to make him work on Shabbos. He's not going to work on Shabbos, because on Shabbos he's not obligated to work at all for this Nachri. Or another question: Chutz min haMitzvos, the stipulation in the sale was that the Nachri cannot prevent the Eved from doing mitzvahs. Mahu. What's the halacha then? So the Ksav Sofer asks, what's the Gemara's question? If the entire concern in our Gemara is that by selling the Eved to the Nachri, he's going to be prevented from doing mitzvahs, here was clearly stipulated that that isn't the situation. So the Ksav Sofer says, once the Eved becomes property of the Nachri, even though technically he's allowed to do mitzvahs, but because he becomes the property of the malach, of the Nachri, and he lives in the Nachri's house, then the question is that even though he's not obligated to work and not obligated to violate any mitzvah, but because he's in that environment, it's likely that he will begin violating mitzvahs, and therefore the Gemara is not sure what is the halacha. Or another case, if the Eved was sold with the stipulation that he's going to be owned by the Jew, but by the Nachri, but on Shabbos and Yontif, he comes back to the Jew's home. What's going to be the halacha then? Do we say that he's not going to prevent him from doing mitzvahs or not? And the Chasam Sofer explains when we speak here, the Gemara's question is as follows. When we speak about the concern that the Eved is going to be prevented from doing mitzvahs, is the mitzvah that we're concerned about Chilul Shabbos? That if he's by the Nachri, he's going to have to be Mechal Shabbos? And therefore, Chazal said that the Eved has to be freed? Or is the point that if he lives in the environment of a Nachri, then he's going to live in an environment that he can't keep any mitzvahs, even though it's only during the week? And since that's during the week, then therefore, since it's that situation, the halacha is that maybe the Eved goes free. Or another question asked the Gemara, where the Eved's Kanani was sold to be a Ger Toshev. The definition of a Ger Toshev is a person who is a non-Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who accepted upon himself to not worship Avodah Zarah. Some say not only did he accept upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, he also accepted upon himself the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach, but certainly it's not a Jewish home. And as the Rishonim will point out, this Nachri is still Eichel Nevelis. This Nachri still has a home which is not kosher. Or if the Eved was saying, sold to a Yisrael Mummer, that is a Jew, but he's unfortunately worshipping Avodah Zarah. Mahu. What is the din in these cases? On one hand, we could say he's a Jew, as a Ger Toshev. On the other hand, it's not an environment of Shmiras Mitzvahs. Lakuti. Even if we'll say, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that even if we'll say that the Kutim are Geri Emes, there's no question that the Kutim were not Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. And therefore, the question of the Gemara is: if you sell the Eved to that environment, what will be the halacha? Pshayt miya chadus. It says the Gemara. At least one question we could answer. The Braisa says ger toshev harei koyv kachavim. The ger toshev is considered as a goy, And therefore, if somebody sells an eved to a ger toishiv, it's as if he sold him to a nachri, and he goes free. Kuti v'yisrael mumre. What about the halacha that we also asked about a kuti or not? Or yisrael mumre. Amleik oiv k'chavim. Some say he's considered like an oiv k'chavim, and some say he's considered like Yisrael. So therefore, this question remains a question. By my name is Rav Ami. They asked Rav Ami the following question. Eved shepel atzmoi legaisos. We spoke about this earlier in our perek, where Eved caused that he should get himself kidnapped, because what his intention was that he should not be able, that he should get free that way. Vein rabbi yechayel tzioi, and the owner doesn't have the ability to get the Eved freed. Loi b'dinei Yisrael, loi b'dinei kachavim. We're dealing with a situation where the Nachrim have the ultimate authority, and the Yisrael doesn't have the ability to take him to court and get him freed. Ma'ashitos tamav. Is the owner at least allowed to ask the Nachri, I lost my Eved, but at least pay me, and the Nachri will maybe agree to pay to be able to hold on to the Eved. So what is the halacha? Or did Chazal say, I didn't turn over the Eved, I didn't turn over the Eved, and since I didn't turn over the Eved, I should not be held responsible? That's one argument that can be made. The other argument that can be made is that the Eved is that if I get paid for it, it's as if I sold the Eved to the Nachri. Amalei Reb Yirmi or Reb Zeika. Reb Yirmi said to Reb Zeika, Puk ayin v'mechilteich, go study the Mishnayis and Brises that you've learned, and maybe you'll find an answer to this question. So says the Gemara Nafuk Dak for Ashkech, he found. The Tanya the Brises says, Amaycha beisoy loiv kechavim. Somebody sells his house to an oiv kechavim. And the Torah says, loisachenim. And we learn from the words loisachenim, loititlem chaniya bekarkish bet Yisrael. We're not allowed to create that Nachrim should have a place in Eretz Yisrael. Damav asurim. The halacha is that Yisrael, having done so, may not have any benefit from that money. He should not have sold the house. Oiv kechavim shana bes Yisrael. But what happens if the oiv kechavim forced him to give him his home? And the Jewish owner doesn't have any opportunity to get his home back. So at least he's allowed to at least get the value of the home from this nachri. And not only is he allowed to do this, but he's allowed to do this in their court. Even though by doing this in their courts, again, he's showing a certain level of significance that he's giving over the home of a Jewish home is being transferred to non-Jews, and to make matters worse, it's being done in a non-Jewish court, and it's mutter. He had no other option. So it seems that when there are no other options, it's not prohibited. Says the Gemara of Dima, Hanida merely bias. When was this said only by home? Everybody needs a home. People are not going to sell their homes. So only in this case where he had no choice, he was forced into the situation, that's where Chazal were lenient. Aval avda. When we speak about slaves, the sagil b'loy avda, it's certainly possible to live without slaves. If we're going to allow that when the slave was taken away for him to collect money, it may create a situation that also lives bune, that ultimately he'll sell his slaves. Eloi, the question is, maybe we don't make such a gzera. Says the Gemara Sholchul Rav Ami. Rav Ami was asked this question, and Rav Ami said, Mini Ami Banosun, from me, Ami Banosun, Torah Yetzir L'chol Yisrael, I will pass on the child that everybody should know. And the halacha is, he said, Eved shehipel atzma legaisis, an eved that got himself kidnapped, vein rabba yochel etzioi, and the owner doesn't have the ability to get him back, loy b'dinei Yisrael, v'loy b'dinei ev t'chavim, mutal litol stomav. The Yisrael owner may collect the value. And not only may he collect the value, the kosef umal bar kosher ev t'chavim, it could be recorded in the non-Jewish court, because This was all done against his will, and at least when they at least let him get back as much as he can. Amr Rishuban Levi, Hamaycha Avda Avikachavim. If somebody sells his Avikanani to Avikachavim, the halach is Kaintzanai Soi. We force him to buy back the Avid, and he says, how much do you have to spend to get it back? Says the Gemara, you have to be willing to spend 100 times, even up to 100 times, the value of the Evid. Ask the Gemara, when you said this number, when this number was stated, is it Dafka or Lav Dafka? Does it really mean 100 times that value or not necessarily such a steep pay, fine? Toshma. The halach is that one is not allowed to sell a behemah gasa to Nochri. And the Gemara explains that the reason one is not in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph, the reason one is not allowed to sell a behemah to a Nochri, because if you're going to sell the behemah to the Nochri, you may come to rent it or lend it to him. And then if the Nochri works with that behemah, which really is owned by the Jew, then there's a violation that the Torah says that Shvisis Behemtoi, that your animal that's owned by a Jew may not do labor on Shabbos. Another concern that the sale may take place on Friday afternoon right before the Shkiach, and then the Nochri is going to start working with the animal and see that the animal is not a healthy animal, or he's going to force the Jew to call the animal to see if the animal is strong enough, if it has capability. In all these cases, it may end up that you violated Shvisis Behemtoi, and therefore Chazal said one may not sell his behemah daka, behemah gasa to Rav Kachavim. And says the Braisa, if one did so, kaintanai say that they force him to pay out of Sarba Dhamma 10 times its value. So now the question is, the point the Gemara says, if all these numbers, if the number 100 is not an accurate number, just to give us an understanding, so that's the, if that's the question, so asks, the, so says the Gemara, why does it say here 10, one here 100? It should have said the same number everywhere. The fact that it doesn't say the same number everywhere is very much an indication that the numbers are being stated very deliberately. And here it's 100 times, and here it's 10 times. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asks a question. We all remember that when Yaakov Avinu sent the gift to Esav, there were animals in amongst them. So he says that the Avodim were not given over, as we said in a previous year, but he says the animals that were all given were behemah daka. And we're learning in our Gemara about not being allowed to give over an animal to a Nochri, it's only behemah gasa, says the Gemara. V'dilma, says the Gemara, it's maybe not a raya. Shani Evid, the koyoim v'yoim mafkalim mitzvahs. So the Gemara says that maybe they're not the same, and by an Evid it's more serious, and every day he makes him not do, he prevents him from doing mitzvahs, and that's why it's 100. And that's why the Gemara is saying it's dafka here 10, dafka here 100. V'kadamri amri b'shu malevi amoich avdelev k'chavim, k'ayntzunai soy ar sar b'domav. If you sell your Evid Kanani to a Nochri, the fine is 10 times the value. Ask the Gemara again, dafka loy dafka. Says the Gemara, tosh madam reshlok, shemach b'hema gas loy v'k'chavim, k'ayntzunai admei b'domav. That there, the Gemara says 100 times. Says the Gemara, similarly, it should be here 100 times. So the Gemara is learning that whatever is the halacha by an Evid should also be the halacha, whatever is the halacha by a behemoth should be by an Evid. Says the Gemara, no. Shani Evid loy hadabe. Maybe Chazal were more lenient by an Evid because the Evid won't come back. El behemoth tamamai. So why do we have to spend more by an animal? Because when I redeem it, I may get it back. So, hadrilei. Says the Gemara, so if that's the case, that's the entire difference between an Eved and a Behemah, so the difference should be one value. Let's say Tveichad. Says the Gemara, why is it different from an animal and an Eved? Eved milsa delay shchichu. It's not common that somebody should sell his Eved Kanani to a Nochri. Since it's not common, milsa delay shchichu like gozer by Rabbanon. And that's why they only said 10 times the value. Whereas an animal to be sold was, of course, extremely common. Since that's extremely common, that's why the shear is much more. So we're learning here that if somebody sells his Eved to a Nochri, he has to redeem him and buy him back. And we're learning now in the Gemara, the question, is it 100 times the value of the Eved or 10 times the value of the Eved? Says the Gemara we just learned, said a version that it's 10 times the value. So the Hafla makes an interesting observation. He says, the Torah tells us that after Yosef revealed his identity, he gave all his brother's gifts. In addition to all the gifts, Yosef gave his brother Binyamin 5 sets of clothing and 300 pieces of silver. And the Gemara Masechta Megillah asks, why and how did Yosef give his brother Binyamin preferential treatment? Wasn't he concerned? Shouldn't he have been concerned that would create jealousy amongst the brothers? And as we know, the entire parsha of Yosef emanated because Yosef was treated differently than all his brothers. So how did Yosef make the same mistake? So Gemara answers that the 5 sets of garments were not given to Binyamin to show that he was more important than his other brothers, but it was to signify the 5 sets of garments, royal garments, that Binyamin's descendant, Mordechai HaTzadik, wore. So the Hafla asks, the Gemara gave us an answer about the garments that Yosef gave to Binyamin, but doesn't answer how and why Yosef gave Binyamin 300 silver pieces. Says the Hafla that we can learn it based on our Gemara. He says, we've learned that the halacha is that if Shor HaMu'ut kills a slave, the owner of the animal has to pay 30 shkolim as a penalty. Says the Hafla that since the brothers sold Yosef to non-Jews, they deserve to be penalized 100 times his value, as we just learned. 10 brothers, so each brother would get 300 shekel. However, Binyamin did not participate, obviously, in the selling of Binyamin, in the selling of Yosef. So therefore, what Yosef did, he took the 3,000 shekel that the brothers owed him, and he didn't give it to them. He didn't give each brother 300 shekel. Binyamin didn't deserve to get punished. And since he didn't deserve to get punished, so therefore he got the 300 shekel that Yosef would have wanted to give to every brother, but the other brothers lost it because they sold it. But as the Chasam Sofer, this entire calculation is only if we say that you have to redeem a slave at 100 times his value. But the Gemara just finished saying that the value is 10 times. So if it's 10 times, how does the Hafla's pshat work? Says the Rebbeinu Bechaya that really the entire value was 300 shekel, 10 times 30. But what Yosef did, says the Rebbeinu Bechaya, he penalized each brother individually for what they did. Since he penalized each brother individually for what he did, that's the 300 shekel that each brother should have received. Binyamin, who did not participate in the sale of Yosef, got the 300 shekel. B'amnei Rav Yirmiyahu Rav Ami. Macha Avdoi, if somebody sold his Eved Kanani or Mace, and then he passes away. Ma'u Shiyiknas B'nai Akrav. That Chazal penalized the son, that the son of this person has to redeem the Eved, just like the father, because the son is the Yerush. So the Gemara indicates that there's a very similar question that comes up regarding a bechor. The halacha is that a bechor, a firstborn animal, is given to the kohen, and he's supposed to bring it as a carbon, unless there's a mum in the carbon. If there's a mum in that animal, that it may not be brought as a carbon, the kohen just could eat the animal, not with needing to bring it as a carbon. But the Gemara, Masechta Bechoros Daf Lamed Daled, discusses quite extensively the isser to put a mum in the kohen, and Chazal said that if a kohen did so, if the kohen made a mum in the bechor, he has to wait till it has another mum, because we don't want him to benefit from what he did wrong, making the bechor bal mum, and like that avoiding the need to bring it as a carbon. The Gemara in Masechta Bechoros Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis says that Rabbi Yirmiya asked the question, if the father, the kohen, made a mum in the bechor, and then he died, does this knas, that the bechor may not be eaten, transfer to the son as well, or not? Says the Gemara, Imtim Tzloim Tzorim Oizim Bechor, that in a case where the father, the kohen, made a mum in the bechor, umeis, and then the father dies, kontsu b'noi akrov, then we pass on, we transfer that knas to the son, because there it's a sur deraisa. The father, by having made a mum in the bechor, violated nisa deraisa. Avalacha, an our Gemara, where somebody sold his ever kanani to a nochri, it's a nisa derabanan. It's only nisa derabanan, and therefore it's not the same. Similar question comes up regarding cholamoid. The Gemara in Masechta Moed Katan, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, teaches us that Chazal made a gzera that if somebody, the halach is that we're not allowed to work on cholamoid, machloikis is an nisa deraisa or an nisa derabanan, but certainly one's not supposed to leave to do work on cholamoid. And the Gemara says, let's say that somebody began, but a dover of it, something that you have to do on cholamoid, that is permitted to be done on cholamoid. But the Gemara Masechta Moed Katan Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis discusses a situation where somebody began working before Yontif, knowing that he won't be able to finish what he's doing before Yontif, and now he's saying, well, if I won't finish this on cholamoid, it's a dover of it. And the question is that considered a dover of it, which we said may be done on cholamoid? The Gemara clearly teaches us that it's not considered a dover of it, because what you should not have begun working before cholamoid to create a situation of dover of it on cholamoid. Now the Gemara over there discusses that, let's say somebody did this, and therefore Chazal said that even though normally a dover ovid is mutter on cholamoid, this will not be mutter on cholamoid. And there too, the Gemara asked the question, if somebody began the work before cholamoid with this improper intention, and then he died, did they make a knas on the son as well? Imtim tzloima, kivim malak b'cholamoid, umeis, loikantz b'noi akrav, Hashem deloy avad asura. The father, at the end, never did anything wrong. Hacha, mai. But here, the father did something wrong. The father went and sold the evad to a nachri. So do we say, l'day kantzer rabbanan, that only the father who did the wrong thing gets penalized? V'holei saying he's not here anymore to be penalized. Adam l'mamayne kantzer rabbanan. The knas is not related to an individual. The knas is related to the money of the father, and that money still exists because the son inherited that money. Amalei, so Rav Asi answered to Nisua. The answer could be found in the following Mishnah. The halacha is that, of course, one may not work on his field during the Shemitah year. So says the Mishnah, Sodesh Neskavtsa B'Shvius, if somebody took out the weeds from a field in the Shemitah year, which is a malacha that's also midrabanan, says Rashi, Tizar al-Matashvias, right after Shemitah year, Chazal allow him to work on his field, and because taking out the weeds is not considered a significant act of working in the field, that he should have a knas. However, there's the taiva, if he fertilized his field during the Shemitah year, or in the daira, he had animals walk over the field, and that too causes the field to be fertilized. The halacha is, loitazar l'matzah shviyas. Chazal made a gzera that matzah shmita, this person can't work on his field immediately. V'amar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, naktinen, we have a kabbalah, hetiva umeis, what happens if somebody improved his field, fertilized his field, and then he died? The halacha is, b'noi zayra, the son, the knas doesn't transfer to the son. What do we see from here, says the Gemara? Amul de dei kansi rabbanan. He who did the Aveira gets penalized. Lebrei, the son who didn't do anything wrong, le kansi rabbanan, is not penalized. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, naktinan, we have the following rule. Tima taharis shel chaveray, if somebody was matami, something which is tar, that belonged to someone else, or mace, and then the person died, le kansi b'noi achrav, the son does not have to pay. The father would have to pay for the damage that he did. The son not. Why not? My Tama, explains the Gemara. We've learned. Hezek Shein and Nikolai Shmei Hezek. When you make something Tame, of course you've decreased the value considerably, but it's not something that's noticeable. Tar food and Tame food look the same. Why did Chazal make this person pay? It's a Kenosu de Rabbanon. And says the Gemara, again, consistent with what we're learning. L'dedei kansu rabbanon, the father, Chazal, penalized. L'breila kansu rabbanon, not to the son. The Shas HaTshuvos, Noida B'Yehuda, discusses the following shaila. There was a shaychit who acted disrespectfully towards the Rav of the city, who shechted without permission of the Rav. And because of that, the Rav said that a shechita becomes prohibited. And there were people who violated what the Rav said, and said that and still ate from that shaychit's shchita. The question is, what is the halacha regarding those kalim that were cooked, that the meat was cooked in after the Rav died, and now the next Rav permitted that shaychit shchita? So he discusses this question. He says that since the entire Isser is not a real Isser Daraisa, he's a competent Shaychit, and therefore, since if the meat was not kosher, so meat that's not kosher cannot become kosher. Here was only Usser because the Rav made that decree, and that decree only remains as long as the Rav is along, not afterwards. And he connects it to our Gemara, where our Gemara has been discussing, what is the halacha, does a knas go on to the son, does the knas go on to somebody's son or not? Says the Gemara, says the Noida B'Yehuda, it may not be the same. Because once, in our Gemara, nothing happened yet. It was, Matzei Shviyas didn't come yet. Cholmoy didn't come yet. Here, the meat already is in existence. And maybe since the meat became usur, and because of the covet of the Talmud Chacham, of the Rav, the halacha is that meat is usur, it becomes non-kosher meat. And if it becomes non-kosher meat, it can never reverse itself to become kosher meat again. We learned in the Mishnah, Oil Chutz Laretz, that if somebody sold his Eved L'Chutz Laretz, that is also a case where Eved goes out. Says the Gemara, Amaycha Avdoi L'Chutz Laretz. If somebody sells his Eved to an individual who lives in Chutz Laretz, Yotzel Chayrus, the Eved goes out free. Says the Gemara, B'tzarech Gitshecher Mirabbi Hasheni. The second owner has to write a Mishtah Shecher. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, not in all cases. Pamim, sometimes when the Eved was sold to Chutz Laretz, Yotzel, he goes free, or Pamim Lo Yotzel, sometimes not. And the Gemara explains itself. Ketzad. I'm selling my Eved to a person who's in Turkey. And Turkey is a city in Chutz Laretz. Just because the person is called an American doesn't mean that he's in America. He happens to be an American. He's being called an American because he's born in America. So just because the document says I'm selling to Antuki doesn't mean that he's being sold to go to Chutz La'aretz. And since it doesn't mean necessarily that he's being sold to go to Chutz La'aretz, lo yotze, the eved doesn't go out. However, if the way the transaction is stated was l'antuki shem antukia, not only does it say that he's an antuki, but he's in antukia. Not only does it say he's an American, but he's an American that lives in America, yotze. Ask the Gemara, but there's a brayse that says, v'tanya v'chatil antuki yotze. That's saying, I sold him to Lantuki. It's a reason for the Eved to go out free. Only if it says Lantuki Ashari Belud. So the Shtar expressly indicates that this person is living in Eretz Yisrael. Then, and only then, Lo Yatza. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Hod the Islay Beis of Eretz Yisrael. If he's called an Antuki, and didn't say Antuki Shem Antukia, and on top of that, we know he has a home in Eretz Yisrael, then the Eved doesn't go out. Ha. This lay is Pisa Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't have a home in Eretz Yisrael. He just happens to be in Eretz Yisrael. He's staying in a hotel or an apartment. Then, even though it doesn't say Antuki Shem Antukia, then he goes free. And that's what the second brisa referred to. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ben Bavel Shenasu Isha Eretz Yisrael. A Ben Bavel who lives in Bavel, who married a wife in Eretz Yisrael, v'chnisa la avadim v'shvachis. And we know, we often discuss, there are two types of assets that a woman brings into a marriage. There's nechsei melug and nechsei tzoyim barzel. Nechsei tzoyim barzel are assets that the husband gets to eat the peiros, and when the marriage ends because the husband died or divorces her, the halacha is that they go back. But not only they go back, we evaluate, we assess their value at the time of the marriage. And whatever the value at the time of the marriage was, that's the amount that they have to give back to the wife when the marriage is over. And that's why they're called tzoyim barzel. Tzoyim barzel means it's solid like barzel, like iron, that she's guaranteed the value. And then there's nechsei melug, which are, there's no such guarantee. So again, says the Gemara, Bar Reb Yimri ben Bavel Shnasa Isha Beretz Yisrael, v'chnisala avadim v'shvachis, as nechsei tzoyim barzel, v'data lachsor, and the husband intends to take them to Bavel. So what is the halacha? Is this considered as if you took the eved to Chutz La'aretz or not? Says the Gemara, so the Gemara discusses the following question. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos discussed the question that if the couple gets divorced, if the couple gets divorced and now they're arguing over the nechsei tzoyim barzel, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that he has to give back the actual assets if they're still around. If the avadim is still here and the avadim could still be worked with, they have to be returned intact. Rav Ami says that you don't have to give back the actual asset, you could give back the value. So says the Gemara, t'boi l'man d'ma adin ima. So the question that we just asked is a question both according to Rabbi Yehuda, that she is entitled to get back the actual asset, and to boy l'man d'ma din imoy, that he keeps the assets. And the Gemara explains itself. To boy l'man d'ma din imoy, that she gets back the asset, kiven the din imoy, since if the marriage will end, she's entitled to get back this actual asset, k'didah d'ma, they're considered as if hers, and therefore, it's not as if these assets were sold to somebody who's taking them to Chutz La'aretz. Oidema, or one can make the argument, as we said a moment ago, the nechsei tzoyim barzel, the husband gets the peiros. So even though maybe when the marriage will end, she will get back the actual avid, but until the marriage ends, kiven the mishabdala lepeira, the husband is entitled to the peiros, that's enough to be considered the day dummy, as if they're his. And therefore, since they're considered as if his, it's considered like an eved that was sold to Chutz La'aretz that goes free. And then says the Gemara, "T'dvay l'man d'amad din imoy." According to Rav Ami's opinion, that if the marriage ends, he keeps the asset and he only has to give her the value. Do we say, "Kivin da din imoy"? since he's going to have the right to keep that actual asset. So certainly it's considered kididei domer, like his asset, and it's his assets that's being sold to chutz laretz. Since he's not owning the actual asset, because he's only getting the payris, the loch is kididei domer. Says the Gemara, teiku, and the Gemara doesn't answer this question. Another question. Amar Avavur, Shana li Rabbi Yochanan, Ever Shiyotza Ach Rabba L'Surya. An Ever that followed his owner to Surya, which as we spoke earlier, a Surya is a place that's not considered Etz Yisrael. Umachra Shem Rabbi, and the owner sold him to another Yisrael who lives in Surya, Yotzel Chayrus. Even though the Ever went on his own will, the owner didn't tell him to follow me, but right now he's selling him, and that means that he's going to be permanently out of Eretz Yisrael, so he goes free. Ask the Gemara Vitani Rav Chia. Then Rav Chia said that if the Eved voluntarily left Eretz Yisrael, Ibetz Chusoy, he loses his right that if he's sold in Chutz Laretz, he goes free. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Kansha Dati Rabbi Lachzer. If the Eved followed his owner, because he knew his owner is going back to Eretz Yisrael, so he's following his owner, but he knows he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it's not considered as if he voluntarily left Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if the owner now sells him, he goes free. Kanch ain't das Rabbi Lachzer. So if you, the Eved, knew that your owner is leaving Eretz Yisrael with no intention to return, and you left anyway, that means you voluntarily left Eretz Yisrael. Since you voluntarily left Eretz Yisrael, you're not entitled, you ibetz chusoy, that if now you sold in Chutz Laretz, you lose that special privilege of going free. V'tanya asked the Gemara, V'tanya is not a kasha, hitin zaraya, yotza achi rabbi l'surya, yotzei. Says the Gemara, loy sagde loy nafik, v'atanan en akom etzien, we can't force anybody to come to Eretz Yisrael, El Yotza Avak Rabbi Surya, or Machar Rabbi Sham, it depends. Im Das Rabbi Lachzer, if it was the intention of the owner to come back to Eretz Yisrael, so then Kaifin Isoi, so he had no right to sell him, because it was never their intention to come to Eretz Yisrael. Again, the Mishnah says, Hakamal Eretz Yisrael, you can force somebody to go to Eretz Yisrael, but any come to you can't force him to leave. So the question is, how did they ever leave Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, the way we have to understand is Elo. Yotza acha Eved acha Rabbi L'Surya, if the Eved left his followed his owner, or Makrisham, and he was sold there to another Jew, Imdas Rabbi Lachzer, if it was the original intention to come back, so the Eved never intended to go to Chutz Laretz. And therefore, if now he was sold in Chutz Laretz, Kaifin Isai, we forced the owner to free him. It may daba Rabbi, that's Rabbi Lachzer, but it was never the intention of the owner to come back. And the Eved anyway went with the owner. That is an indication that the Eved voluntarily or by his own free will left Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Ein Kaifin Isai, we cannot force him. If the Eved was now sold to somebody else in Chutz Laretz, we don't force him to free him, to buy him back.